Okay.
Hello, this is Kara from the Pure Rock Shop, and you're listening to WNJR 91.7 FM, Washington, Pittsburgh. Today we have guitarist Joel Hoekstra on the line from Whitesnake. Hi, Joel. How are you doing today?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. Thanks for joining us. You know, before we get into the Whitesnake tour, I was hoping we could kind of take a step back. I'd like to kind of get some history on how you got started in the industry. I think I first heard your name associated with Night Ranger several years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a series of baby steps the whole way. You know, I've been busy my whole life. But, playing with Jim Peterick, who founded the Eyes of March and Survivor, kind of gave me my in with Night Ranger, and that kind of put me on the hard rock map, I guess. And then,
okay.
But around that time, also, I was in the Broadway show Rock of Ages for 6 years in Trans-Siberian Orchestra, which I've been with now almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And switched from Night Ranger to Whitesnake, if you can follow me through all of this.
Sure. And
kind of, oddly enough, the three that I have going at the time right now are Whitesnake, Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and Cher.
Uh-huh. So you have, you know, several bosses to please. You know, how do you keep your own style, you know, and, you know, working for three different bands at the same time?
I don't know. Everything just kind of has worked out. You just do the best you can with each situation that presents itself to you. You know, try to make it about making other people happy, not about making yourself happy.
Okay.
You know, it's definitely, in the end, it comes down to hard work, like how much time you put in on it. So I'm definitely like a preparation fiend, like in terms of practice and things like that. And just in general, just trying to be a pro.
Sure. Well, you know, you've still been able to find time to do your own solo projects. We really loved the 13 album. You know, you worked with some amazing talents on that release. How did you pull your band together?
So I had just finished up doing an EP that was instrumental with Tony Franklin, the bass player, and I told him I wanted to do like a straight ahead rock vocal album. You know, that basically sounds like a band, even if it's not a band for the time being, but just write some good vocal songs. And he recommended Vinny Appice for the drums. Vinny was up for it. And so then I sort of thought, well, I've got this kind of Dio rhythm section on steroids. Tony, and just right at that time, as it turned out, Russell Allen was joining Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and I heard Russell sing, and I thought, well, here's the perfect guy. And then I asked Jeff Scott Soto to sing backups on it as like a favor to me. We've worked together a lot over the years, and so he sang some backups, and then as it became clear it was going to be more like a project thing and not a band, so to speak, I had Jeff sing some leads too, and then Derek Sherinian was kind enough to play all the keyboards on it as well. So yeah, great lineup. Honored to have all those guys be a part of it.
Yeah, it was really cool to see you guys perform live on the Monsters of Rock, and you know, see Russell and Jeff and even Nathan James, you know, with all the great vocal talent out there joining you. It was a cool experience. Have you had any desire to do any touring or live shows, you know, if you can pull all those people together at the same time?
Yeah, I mean, I would obviously love to. It's just really hard, with myself included, just in terms of schedules and anything that makes sense. You know, it's really difficult to get everybody like that to commit to something if there's not going to be any money in it. So it's kind of same old story, I think, you know, for a lot of things like that. I mean, to get it pulled together to play on the Monsters of Rock cruise is a great thing and very special. You know, maybe if there was a follow-up record and it had a little more momentum, but not for the time being.
Okay. Well, you know, we last saw you perform on Monsters of Rock, and I had a question that's kind of been nagging at me. You're famous for the Bloody Mary jams, and I've got to ask you the history behind how that started, and if it has anything to do with the Whitesnake song, Bloody Mary.
No, I mean, the first time I did the Monsters of Rock cruise, I was down there with Night Ranger, and I think we played, and I went out and partied, and I was super hungover. And the next morning, I thought, you know, I'm just going to bring my acoustic up on deck and just practice and, like, you know, play some mellow acoustic stuff to feel better, soothe my own head, you know. So I went up on deck, and then as it turned out, John Karabi was gonna have some people renew their vows. He was gonna, remarried up on deck. So they plugged me in, and next thing I knew, I was on stage, and they said, "We'll just keep playing." So I just did this little impromptu set, and then the next year, Night Ranger wasn't going to be on the cruise, so I talked to Larry Moran, who runs it.
Right.
He said, "Why don't you come on and do what you did last year, where you just play, so, you know, we'll have you play acoustic?" And I was like, "Really? It's a hard rock cruise, man, you know?"
Yeah.
But that's what we did, and so immediately, I thought, well, how's this going to fly, because I'm going to be playing this mellow music, and so I thought, well, I'll just buy everybody Bloody Marys that's coming, you know, and we'll call it the Hangover Jam, or whatever, the Hangover Show, and it's just, right away, I was like, well, this could be a tradition, this could be annual tradition, and it's flown, it's pretty amazing. So, I mean, I don't know how many pitchers of Bloody Marys that got poured out last year, but then I also give away free stuff, I'll say the G-rated version, between every song, that people's names, and I even had the free stuff girls give the stuff away and get everybody's names while I do the set. So it's just like a fun annual thing on there for me. And it's sort of taken on different shapes every year too. Like this past year, Russell was on with me, and it was pretty much just like a classic rock show. But I have a lot of fun. I love that cruise.
Yeah, it's a great experience, and it's fun, you know, to have, you know, different guests jumping on stage with you and not knowing what we're going to hear. So very cool. Well, you know, let's get back to Whitesnake now, I guess. I wanted to ask you how you initially hooked up with David Coverdale and joined the band.
So I learned that they needed a guitar player, and I knew Red Beach already just from, actually, when I joined Night Ranger, he was in the band for a year before I was, so... Uh-huh. We had spoken and kind of seen each other backstage a handful of times over the years when Mirror and Night Ranger would be on the same bill. So I asked Red first and sent some video links to him, and I didn't hear anything back. I didn't hear anything. And then I thought, well, who am I really going to do with Coverdale? And I thought of when I filled in for Mick Jones in Foreigner, their manager, Phil Carson, I thought, I bet he knows David, you know, so indeed he did. Phil was nice enough to reach out, write an email to David saying, you know, you should check this guy out, and at that point I got an audition, and everything went really well when that happened, so all good.
Great. Well, you know, the last time I saw Whitesnake on tour was in support of the Purple album, so I'm curious as to, you know, what we can expect this time around, you know, the band celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Whitesnake 87 album, which was, you know, obviously a monumental guitar album back in the 80s.
I mean, this right now we're out with Foreigner on the, you know, the Jukebox Heroes tour, so it's pretty much just like a giant, everybody plays their hits. Having Jason Bonham on before is playing all the Zeppelin stuff is pretty amazing. So it's three great catalogs of music. It's really a rare night where people know literally every single song that they hear. So, you know, it's been really successful. We're having a good time. These guys and the other bands are all great guys, and super successful so far. Great crowds and super responsive.
Yeah, you know, we unfortunately missed you guys locally here in Pittsburgh, so we're planning to travel up to the show at Blossom, which is kind of the Cleveland, Akron area, I guess. You know, but yeah, I saw lots of live feed. I was in Europe. I was actually at the airport in Prague watching everybody going live at the show here in Pittsburgh. So it sounds awesome, and, you know, I think it's going to be really great tour for the summer, obviously. You know, like you said, everybody's going to know every song, and lots of great catalog from all three bands, so very cool. I wanted to also ask you, you know, I heard that there was some work on a Whitesnake album that got put on hold. Any updates on that and, you know, what we can expect new from Whitesnake?
Yeah, early 2019. I don't know exact release dates, but at this point in time, it should be easy enough to get it out by then.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's exciting. First album of original music from the band. Obviously, when I joined, it was the Purple album.
Right.
Which was playing the stuff that David wrote with Deep Purple. So this is super cool, you know. I got to do some writing on it, and we're very excited about getting it out there. It's got all the elements that Whitesnake has had over the years, and it's just a matter of what songs David is going to select for the album, actually, because we had too much material. I think 18 songs we wrote, so we'll see which ones he picks out and sequences, but we're all very excited about it.
Excellent. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to catching you guys at Blossom on July 10th, and you know, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us here today on WNJR 91.7 FM, Washington, Pittsburgh, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. Thanks, Joel.